All right, we're going to talk about supernatural identity. I kind of searched through my notes. I don't remember. I thought I talked about this in the last several years, but I couldn't find it. So this is what the Lord laid on my heart this week. As I was going through my Bible reading, John 13, 3 and to 5 is what we're going to be looking at here in a minute. But it really stuck out to me and really touched me on some things. So we're going to talk about that. So have you ever underestimated yourself? I think we probably all have. You know, in our life and our walk with God, I think we forget, you know, what we're capable of. You know, what God can do through us is very important that we see that. And I'm not really talking about the confidence, you know, that we have in ourselves. We do need some self-confidence, but I really think that we need to major on the idea of God confidence. What it means to have confidence in our God, in what God can do through us. Now, I found this in my life, and I hope you have too, that we walk in greater power when we live for God's greater glory. Amen? And that's what we need to do. You know, life is about perspective and priorities, and we're going to look at that a little bit. You know, how we have to have the proper perspective before we set our priorities. Because I know in my life, I had priorities that I thought were important to me until I became born again. Okay? And then some things kind of change. So, as we start to put those things in line, we start to see things really start to come to pass, you know, for the glory of God in our life. Okay, like I mentioned, we're looking at John 13, 3 to 5. This is a revelation that God gave me, I mean, just several years after I was born again, as I was reading through the scriptures, and just an advertisement to get you into God's Word. You know, I read through the Bible every year. I encourage you to get a Bible reading plan. It only takes maybe 7 to 10 minutes. It varies, you know, from, you know, passages to passages, you know. But if you do that, you start to get a greater understanding of God's Word on how things fit together. Amen. And you need to do that. I really, you know, I know it's kind of June now, we're halfway through the year, but I just jump in, you know, maybe start there and just kind of start doing it. I've been doing it since 1985, and I turned out okay. You know what I mean? Amen? You know, you keep putting the Word of God in, you know, things are going to start to happen. Okay, John 13, 3, it says, and this is a New American Standard Version, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us to come to you today, Lord. We thank you that we're born for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring in each of our hearts, Lord, as we celebrate today as Pentecost Sunday, Lord, that you poured out your Spirit upon the church. But Lord, I ask you to pour it out today again. Pour it out upon us. Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation here today. And Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me, and I use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at this a little bit from different angles. First, I want to look at the idea of identity. How important it is to have identity. You know, that's who you really are. And Jesus knew where he came from. And we need to get that settled in our life. Where do we come from? See, origin is important. You know, a lot of people get kind of confused, you know, of where they come from and things like this. You know, we sometimes go to school and maybe our minds have been messed with, you know, about evolution, and which is really de-evolution to me. You know, all these things kind of come in there. We need to get this kind of settled because, you know, in truth, we have a creator. Yeah. And we have to understand that. We have a creator. Somebody created us. You know, somebody that was as bigger than better than us had a plan for us, and they created us. And as we understand that, then we start to see that we have spiritual DNA, okay? You know, we are created in the image of God. God made us for a reason, and he has a purpose for our life. And as we start to come to terms with that, and then we understand the idea that we're in the family of God now. Now, most of you I know very well, within reason. Some of you I know, I've met your parents. Have you ever noticed you kind of take on some physical resemblances of your family? You know, I ran into somebody, you know, the other day, and I can't remember where I was at, but, you know, now they look just like their dad. You know what I mean? When they were a little kid, they didn't really look like it totally, but then all of a sudden, as they've gotten older, they just look like their dad. And, you know, they've taken on that family resemblance. Well, we need to see that we're in the family of God, And we need to take on that spiritual resemblance. You know, we need to take on that spiritual resemblance where we start to look like our Heavenly Father in the things that we do. Okay? Now, if we believe in a creator, which I hope we do, we believe a creator made this. I know it's kind of a hard concept to get around sometimes, but you have to settle that in your heart. Like I mentioned, you know, we have to have that idea of what a creator is that if we have a creator, then we have a purpose for being here. Okay, that to me, them two connect. That's why it's important that we understand that somebody made us, somebody better and bigger than us, somebody smarter than us. They made us and they put us here for a purpose. They put us here for a reason. We are not some experiment in a test tube. You know what I'm saying? God has a plan for all eternity, and He's the only one that can really, you know, reveal that plan to us. You know, a lot of people's got a lot of great ideas, you know, of what to do, and there's some nice people out there who don't know God. But when it comes down to the end of the line, you know, that's when we start to see the differences. When we start to see the differences when it comes to Judgment Day. On all these things that come. And that's why if we understand the concept, if we get into the place where as a Christian, that we have a destiny. You know, we used to sing that song, or I don't know if we sang it in a long time. I don't know if there's a good version of it out there. But, you know, we sing, I have a destiny. And we'd sing that, and whenever we sang that old song, everybody'd kind of perk up a little bit, you know what I mean? Puff out their chest a little bit. Yes, bless God, I got a destiny, amen? God has a plan for my life. I missed something? It was good. Oh, the baby cried out, didn't it? Okay, the baby said hallelujah. Amen. That's good. That's good. So if we're destiny driven, that's what we have to be, is destiny driven. And that means fulfilling the purpose of our life by walking in a plan for our life. You know, we've got to walk that plan. And sometimes, you know, as you're going along that plan, you know, there may be a stretch from where you start and from where you finish, where you can't see that line. And I've been out in some places, you know, out in the timber here of Iowa, and what amazed my wife is a lot of our roads aren't paved. In Wisconsin, where she's from, all the roads are paved. That would be kind of handy. I ain't going to lie to you. That would be kind of cool. But I was out in the boondocks, and I thought I would take a shortcut, or not a shortcut. I wanted to take a scenic route. Well, then I lit off, and I kind of knew the area where I was supposed to be heading. But boy, I was out there, and there's a few turns and twists in that plan that I had. And I was out there, and I had some choices to make. I mean, do I go left? Left doesn't seem right, but on the picture on my map, it says it's okay. And if I go right, which is the way I think I'm going, it's going to take me back to where I started. You know, so I went with what I didn't feel was right. I went with the plan, and I did turn out. I made it. I'm here. Amen? I'm still here. I could have been way out there in the boonies. I was down by Blakesburg and down in that area, and it was raining. It was muddy, and some of them roads don't have rock, and it's just like home for me. I mean, out west Lavella, I mean, we always got overlooked when it came to rock. That's a little thing against the, no, I'm just kidding, against the county. I'm kidding around. Don't want to stir that up again. That was 10 years ago. Anyway, so if we're put here for a reason, we need to find that reason. And we know that. We've talked about that before. So we must have a purpose. And, you know, what I found out in people's lives that people feel irrelevant, especially if they think they come from a monkey. You know what I mean? Those that really think that, you know, they come from a monkey or believe in evolution or maybe some, you know, foreign entity, you know, UFOs, maybe a UFO brought you here. UFO brought you here, you think, or whatever the case may be. You know, those things are kind of confusing. To me, it's easier to believe in God. You know, even though I've never really seen God, although I have had some visions, you know, praying and different things. But, you know, it's important that we see that, because when we have the proper identification of who we are and the DNA, the spiritual DNA imprint that's put inside of us, you know, it brings spiritual stability to our life. And that's what we need. We need to be spiritually stable. You know, there's a lot of things that the world throws at us. And, you know, Amanda, you know, shared some things today about what's been going on in her life. And just the things that kind of can maybe get us off our path or maybe discourage us or get us, you know, down for whatever reason, where we think we live in the valley. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been that way? Felt like you just lived in the valley all the time. But see, if we have that identification, we know that God has a plan. We know that we're going to make it to the other side. And see, that's what's about Jesus here. You know, Jesus, I was just thinking about this today again. You know, we don't really have a lot of information about Jesus when he was a little feller, do we? You know what I mean? At 12 years old, he kind of went to the temple and kind of said something very profound and kind of freaked a bunch of the leaders out a little bit, you know, because he had a lot of depth, you know, even at that young age. But we don't really know a lot until all of a sudden, boom, the Holy Ghost, you know, came on him, and he started his ministry there for a little over 3 years. You know, but he did a little bit of growing up and the things that he, you know, he went through, probably just like everybody else. But, you know, deep down inside, you know, being the Son of God or the God-man, he always knew where he was going. He always knew why he was here. The plan was very clear to him. He had to go to the cross. You know, he had to pay the price. He wanted to bring connection back to God and man because we'd been separated from God due to sin. And see, that's why we need Jesus so bad. See, Jesus knew that physical death was not the end, but the next step. And I know it's hard for us to grasp that. And I like to kind of touch this subject every now and then, you know, to give us comfort and hope, you know, especially for those who are saved and born again, you know, have asked Jesus Christ into their heart. We have to have that peace and that confidence, knowing that, you know, physical death is not the end. It's just the next step into glory. And we have to understand that because everybody's going to go through that door. We're all going through that door. And it's how you want to face that door, you know, that really matters. And that's why we need to get this really down deep inside of us. Now, Jesus knew. Now, I forgot to throw this out there. Many of you probably knew, but this was Jesus up in the upper room with his disciples just, you know, a few days before he was going to be brutally beaten and then go and die a horrific death on the cross. So this was where he was wanting to have this conversation. And he knew that this was his last week on earth, and he had a revelation or a glimpse that was going to be brutal. This is going to be a hard week, you know. And every now and then, you and I have a hard week, but we've never had his week. You know what I'm saying? We've all had our weeks, you know, but this is something to kind of keep in perspective. See, Jesus did what he did so we could have what he has, okay? That's how much he loved us. He went there. And you parents, there's things that you'll do for your kids, right? There's things that you do for them because you want them to have all the great things that you have in life. And to me, you know, a good revelation in our life is that time in our life, then we figure out that it's not really about us anymore. It's about the others. And really, this is where Jesus was in his life. He'd always felt this way. He knew he lived for other people. But this is when it was really coming down to the end, and when he was going to sacrifice himself, and that he was going to experience all the pain and suffering and all the separation from God on our behalf. This was coming upon him. This was things that he was dealing with. And as well as knowing where he was going, he also knew that the Father had put all things into his hands. See, Jesus also knew who he was and what he had. He knew, you know, the anointing that was on his life. And I hope you've experienced that yourself. You know the anointing of God that's on your life. And like I said, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday today. The outpouring of the Spirit of God was given, you know, not for goosebumps when we worship, but it was given to live a life to bring glory to God's name. Really, that's what we need to see. He gives us that spirit to be an evangelist, where we reach out to a lost and dying world. You might be afraid, but he that's in you is not afraid of anything. Right. Amen? Amen? And that's the one that we need to yield to. We need to let the Spirit of God start to live his life through us. And we see the manifestation of how Jesus Christ lived his life by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that is here today. That same Holy Spirit that wants to live through you and me. And that's who we need to tap into. And, you know, Jesus knew that he represented the Godhead while he's here on this earth. And, you know, he knew that with great authority came great responsibility. And that's what we have. We have authority. All authority on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. And then he says, go therefore. I mean, he gave us authority. But with that authority comes great responsibility. And we need to accept that. You know, it's awesome to have authority. Everybody likes to be in charge, but nobody likes to be responsible. We need to be responsible. Amen? And that's where the fun's at. Okay, now, you know, Jesus' supernatural identity was wrapped up in his relationship with the Father. If you look through the Gospels and what Jesus said about his connection with the Father, it was impeccable. How he, you know, would spend time in prayer talking to the Father, and how he said he could not do anything unless the Father told him to do so. Well, it's same with you and me, you know, in our relationship with God. You know, what we need to see is our supernatural identity is wrapped up in our relationship with Jesus. You know, how is our relationship with Jesus today? You know, I mean, we can easily say I'm a Christian. I'm a member of a church. You know, I've joined or whatever. You know, maybe some even have the remembrance in their mind that day they walk down, they shake the preacher's hand. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen that? They come walking forward down the front and they shake the preacher's hand and pray this little prayer. But there's more than that, isn't there? It's the everyday life that we live. See, being a Christian, being born again, is just the start. You're just like your first day of marriage. I mean, hopefully your wedding day isn't the best day of your marriage. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. I mean, it's over, you know. I mean, that day, you know, unless you renew your vows, you know, but you can't renew your vows every day. I suppose you could, you know, do it with each other. But hopefully your marriage is better today. The ceremony was just the introduction. And then you found out this deep relationship you have with this other person where you can share the better part of you and even share the worst part of you. And they still love you. And see, that's what it's like with our relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves us so much, and we come forward and maybe we give our life to him. We surrender our life and say, Jesus, here I am, take me. You know, I want to follow you. I want to do whatever you want, you know. And then as you start that process of walking with him, it becomes more apparent that there's more to this relationship than I thought when I started. And that's what I found out, both in my marriage as well as in my relationship with God. I'll be honest, I didn't have a clue about both of them sometimes. You know what I mean? I didn't have a clue until I experienced it. Till I was willing to open myself up, and I hope you've opened yourself up, you know, to the Lord. Next point I want to see now is the fact that, you know, as I mentioned, this was Jesus' last time. And I don't know if, you know, it's hard to say, but have you ever maybe spent some time with somebody and you knew that this was going to be your last time you see that person? You know, we've maybe all lost someone that we love. Somebody that was really close to us, and we're in the room with them, and we're talking to them, and we know that I'm never going to see you again. Well, that's what Jesus was right here, and that's where we come to the idea of a meaningful moment. He made a meaningful moment right here. He had his followers, and we need to make sure that we have these kind of meaningful moments in our life, and there's things that, you know, we need to say and things that we need to do. See, he knew he only had a few moments left with his disciples because this was the last week, and along a short term of what the disciples are, they were his students. And I don't know about you, but reading about some of them disciples, I'd have felt kind of concerned about giving them the keys to the car, you know what I mean? You know, here he was, Jesus was leaving, and they were going to take over the ministry. Here you got Peter just popping off his mouth all the time, and James and John wanted to be in the set up right in the front row. You know, they all had personalities. Of course, they weren't born again yet. You know, and that helped when they got saved. But you know, that would be kind of you'd be kind of wondering. And Paul had these same things. If you look in the book of Acts, he knew that he was heading to Rome, and he may not come back. And he'd spent some time with his churches, people that he had discipled and gotten saved, and things that he had to say. And this group, if you think about it, we kind of come here and we come together and we give each other hugs, right? We hug each other, unless you don't like to be touched, that's fine too. You know, you can get fist bumps or whatever. But we're only here maybe, I don't know, what do we see each other in this building maybe? If you're, you know, we see each other maybe a couple hours on a Sunday. For those listening in, our service isn't really that long, but it may feel like it. But, you know, we're here a couple hours on Sunday, and then maybe you come on Wednesday, So you spend maybe worst or best case scenario, however you want to look at it, with each other 4 hours. Well, Jesus lived with these people. They lived together. They were together all the time. They ate together. They slept in the same area together. They did ministry together. They had quite a connection with each other. And, you know, Jesus in his life had modeled what it was like to be a Christian. You know, he brought a revelation of God that nobody had ever seen before, because their only idea of what God was like is when they saw the Pharisees or the religious leaders, how they wanted to have the best chair. You know, I want to set up in front. And when you come around me, you honor me because I'm the man of God. You know, that's the only idea of what the people had. And, you know, the Pharisees, they dressed religiously. They had a bunch of religious mumbo-jumbo stuff. And they just looked so spiritual on the outside, but inside they were dead. There's nothing there. But then here comes Jesus. Different than any kind of minister before, really. He came and he ate and drank with sinners. He spent time with people and touching people that nobody else would touch. I mean, he touched people that if you touched them, you'd be unclean. But he touched them anyway. So Jesus came and he was showing them what ministry is really all about. And see, we should really maybe take notes on some of that stuff, you know, on how Jesus treated people. And then as he modeled this, you know, what he did for us is that Jesus really rewrote the book on the character of God, because everybody thought God was so different. And what he did, he's wanting to have a moment here, because meaningful moments are life-changing. They're like a divine appointment. And he had set this scene all up and said, you know, hey, go up, they got a room for us, we're going to have this little party here, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have the last, you know, the supper, they're going to celebrate Passover together, which being Jews, that was something special that they did, and, you know, how they celebrated, and we looked at that, I think, last week again, about the how you put the blood on the door, on the top and the sides, how the death angel pass over, and he was doing something that was common to them, but then he was going to take them a little farther. He's wanting to show them something a little bit deeper. And see, if you and I are wise, because we're going to have these meaningful moments, you know, we're going to embrace those moments, and it's a time when a divine work is being done in your heart, and we need to embrace those things. And there's been some times, you know, I can remember several times in my life, you know, that it was, I've had some meaningful moments, but really meaningful moments. And I've shared some of those before. One of them, you know, we was in Greece, and we were coming off the, I suppose, the subway or whatever you want to call it. It's above ground, the train, and we're getting off, and we was walking down this long corridor that was underneath. It was a tunnel, and God just kind of spoke to me and about what a treasure is. You know, how many would like treasure? Amen? You know, we had quit our jobs, and we'd went overseas, and we'd been serving the Lord, and our time was about over. We had to make a decision. Are we going to stay, or should I stay, or should I go? Ain't there a song about that? But anyway, some of you guys don't know rock and roll like I did, do you? But anyway, all of a sudden, God gave me a vision of a treasure chest. And you know, how many would like to see that vision? Praise God. Well, then he opened it up, and it was people's faces. And he said, this is my treasure. How could you ever want anything more? And that was a moment. That was a moment. I could feel the presence of God. You know, another time I gave somebody a ride down to Ottumwa, and they were kind of partially blind. They was on a bicycle. Long story. It was crazy. He'd rode his bicycle all this way to Centerville, and Dr. Lester Summerall was down there before he passed away. And we, you know, I gave him a ride back home because, I mean, here it's pitch dark at night, and he's partially blind anyway. And I gave him a ride to Ottumwa and took him home. I was on my way back, and the presence of God filled my truck. I had a little 1986 Ford Ranger. I mean, the presence of God was there, And that's when God called me to go out and start traveling as an evangelist. You know, so there's meaningful moments that we have, and don't compare yours with mine or mine with yours. But there's times in your life, if you really want something from God, God's going to give it to you. And he's going to give you those moments when things in you, and these moments were only like that. They're like a second. But it unfolded maybe minutes or a long understanding. You know what I mean? And see, that's what Jesus was wanting to do here, is that he was wanting to have a meaningful moment, you know, with his followers. And we need to go after those if we can, because we're followers of Jesus. And see, there's really a lot that Jesus wanted to tell them, but he decided to do something different. He decided to show them. He showed them instead. He didn't explain it, but he showed them what happened. And he got up and he washed his students' feet. And to us, that sounds kind of different. In our culture, we all, you know, we have, you know, decent shoes and socks and, you know, things like that. But in this culture, they wore sandals, and the roads were dusty, and you'd be out in the day and you'd get kind of maybe dust, maybe 6 or 8 inches up your legs. And you'd just, you know, be dirty. And then, you know, they would go to somebody's house, and it was a culture thing that if you were a good host, the lowest servant of the pile would come in and they would wash your feet. That was the lowest job there was, you know, is that you would come and you would wash people's feet. And that was your job, one of your jobs. So you would, you know, clean them. And I don't know about you, but it's humbling to do that. I've heard of people doing foot washing services. I've never been a part of one. But, you know, when you're filthy, dirty, I remember as a kid playing with no shoes all the time, and Mom make us just sit on the bathtub and we put our feet in there and clean our feet. It kind of felt good to be clean, didn't it? You know, get some of that dirt off you, especially if you live on the farm, if you know what I'm saying. So anyway, we would do that. But yet, you know, like I said, the lowest servant would do that, and that was protocol, is always the lesser would serve the greater. And that's a concept that's been totally in our culture, you know, for years. And what happened then, Jesus wanted to get us away from the big me, little you idea. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what people had. Big me, little you. You serve me. So Jesus went in and he showed them. And what it was is when he washed their feet, it was a picture of the spiritual cleansing that was going to be coming when he died for us on the cross. And it shows us that you and I walk in this world and we get a little dirty sometimes. And that we need just have to be confident Jesus is going to cleanse us from that filth. So it's important that we understand that. So the last point I want to look at today is perspective and priorities and how important this is. You know, having a proper perspective before you set your priorities. See, it is this life that we live that affects all eternity. You know, it's not what we do in heaven, because I don't know really what we do there yet. I can see pictures, but, you know, maybe you understand it better than I do. I don't understand everything that we're going to do in heaven. It seems like we sing a lot. You know what I mean? We praise God. You know, that's cool. And we sit around Jesus and, you know, we just worship him. But I'm sure there's some other things that we do. But I mean, for the most part, you know, we just see a glimpse. But it's what we do in this life that really matters, that affects eternity for us and the people around us. You know, so are we living for now or are we living forever? See, we can live selfishly, and that's what happens sometimes. See, there has to be more than this life. You know, growing up, I understood there, you know, going to work every day. You know, I remember when I lived in Denver, there's a lot more people than we have in this little town. And it seemed like everybody's going somewhere, but it seemed like to me they were going nowhere. I mean, they were on the interstate there, and everybody just flying this way and flying that way, going here and going there, and it just seemed like the rat race. It just, you know, what was their plan? What were they doing? They go to work, they buy these expensive houses, and they work like a dog to try to keep them paid so the banker don't take them away. But what are we here for? What are we living for? Is there more to life than just buying things, you know, things like that? There must be more, that's what made me really start searching after God is, you know, there has to be more. See, what I found out with people is the fact that those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, in a sense, are born again or have not surrendered their life, is that people that believe that this life is all there is, they're going to live selfishly. They're going to live for self. Because if the only thing you have is this little segment of time that you're on this planet from the time you take your first breath to the time you take your last breath, you're going to try to get everything you can out of this life. But if we believe there's more than this life, then we're going to live eternally. And that's how we need to keep our perspective. We need the idea of we're living eternally. The second thing I've noticed from this passage is the idea of that only a secure leader can be a servant leader. See, remember, Jesus knew where he was going, he knew where he came from, and he knew everything that God had put inside of him. He was secure in who he was. And only if we're secure can we serve others with a good heart. And that's what we need to get to the place in our life. Could you be the greatest in the room and still serve the rest? Or do they serve you? It's important that we understand that. So Jesus totally rewrote the book on what leadership's all about. See, the greatest revelation that you and I will ever have as a leader is when we see that serving others is a strength and not a weakness. Serving others is a strength. And if you can do that with a joyful heart, then you're well on the way to where you need to be. Next, I want us to see that this is the hard part. As a leader, Jesus even washed Judas's feet. He washed Judas's feet. He knew he was a traitor, but he served him anyway. That kind of floors me a little bit. Jesus, the love that he had. So, you know, we need to pray that God will give us that vision of what you and I are capable for what we're supposed to do. And that's why we need to have those perspective and priorities. So first, if we get a proper perspective, then we can set our priorities. Like I said, when I grew in Christ, my priorities changed. Hopefully yours has too. When I first became a Christian, I didn't really totally have a clue about everything, you know, that God wanted out of my life. But, you know, at that time, I couldn't have gave him anyway. I was too immature. I was too self-centered. I hadn't really let go of me yet. But see, as we grow in Christ, as we start to learn, and then it's easier. And so that's why the growth process is very important. And we all have that untapped potential. And I want us to see that maybe you feel that maybe you've been at the end of your rope sometimes, and maybe you've been in those situations. I want us to understand there's always a little bit more. You know, to me, sometimes we need to look at our spiritual life as a tube of toothpaste. You say, what? Have you ever had a tube of toothpaste that just wouldn't quit? You just kept squeezing. I remember one time, we had this tube of toothpaste, and, you know, me and my wife, full disclosure, and I asked her about this, it is true, but we used to have a game. I don't know, maybe you guys have, I mean, it's a stupid game. But we would try to see who had to get the next toothpaste out. So we'd always try to squeeze all the toothpaste out so that the next person would have to get the tube out. Okay? And, you know, I don't know who all won all the time, but this one time I remember, I was in there and I couldn't believe it myself. I just kept getting more toothpaste out of this. And then I thought, this was it. It's got to be it. And then I'd come back and no new toothpaste yet. So I squeezed some more. I kept getting more toothpaste out. And finally, it didn't have any more. You know, but this had been going on for several days. Well, then I figured out my wife was brushing her teeth in the other bathroom. I was competing against myself. But it showed me there's always a little bit more. And that's what we need to see in our life. There's always a little bit more. Until it's over, there's always a little bit more. We can go a little bit farther. We can dig a little bit deeper. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.